We made it.
Amen.
Amen. I want to say again, it's good to be here. We praise the Lord for letting us be a part of this meeting. And we're praying and hoping that God will do something tremendous tonight. I know He wants to do something great. It'll be up to us. Amen. We know that God wants to save and He wants to help. Amen. And He wants to revive and He wants to mend. He wants to heal. He wants to do all those things. And God wants to help us tonight. Amen. I want you to turn over in your Bible tonight to the book of Psalms, chapter number 108. Psalms 108 in your Bible tonight. We're going to start our reading in verse number 1. Read just a little bit and pray, and then we'll have you be seated. So if you'd be willing to stand tonight, we'll ask that the Lord will bless this meeting after we read the Word of God tonight. The Bible says, "Oh God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise, even with my glory. Awake, psaltery and harp, I myself will awake early. I will praise Thee, O Lord, among the people, and I will sing praises unto Thee among the nations. For Thy mercy is great above the heavens, and Thy truth reacheth unto the clouds. Be Thou exalted, O God, above the heavens, and Thy glory above all the earth." Amen. I'm going to stop my reading right there. I want to back up to verse number 1 where the Bible says, "Oh God, my heart is fixed." Let's pray and you can be seated. Heavenly Father, again in the name of the Lord Jesus, we want to thank You so much for letting us be here tonight again in this meeting. I'm praying, God, Lord, that You'd bless this meeting. Lord, before tonight or tomorrow night is out, God, we're praying, Lord, that somebody might come and not want to be gloriously saved by Your grace. God, it could be tonight, Lord, that You fix someone's heart. And so, Lord, I'm praying, God, tonight, Lord, that Your name be exalted, for You said, if You be lifted up, that You draw all men unto You. And so, Lord, use my body and my tongue and my voice, Lord, my mind, God, for Your glory tonight. And God, we will thank You and praise You in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You can be seated. Amen. I'm looking in verse number 1 where the Bible says, "Oh God, my heart is fixed." Now look up that word "fixed." Has several different meanings to the word "fixed." One means to make stable, unmovable, permanent, established. Almost like you would say that concrete is fixed. In other words, it is solid and it's not going to be moved. Then the second one was to fasten to or to attach firmly, as to fix a line to a hook. In other words, amen, you run that fishing line through there, tie it all off, and you fix that line to that hook. Another meaning was to set or to place steadily, as the eye is fixed without moving it. The eye, here's an example, the eye was fixed on the preacher. Amen. Then number 4 was to make firm, amen. Another was to rest, settled, amen, without wandering, amen. And then number 6 was this, fixed, to be repaired to an operating order. To be repaired into an operating order. Truly, tonight, Brother Wayne's probably thought about each one of these as I've said it, and I could take off in any one of those definitions and preach a message about your heart being fixed. I mean, connected to God and settled and established and concrete on God, amen. And I mean, I fixed to where it's unmovable, amen. I could preach on all those things, but I want to focus in tonight on the one that said to be repaired back to working order. It was in 2004, Linda and I, we went and bought a brand new car. Man, we were excited about this brand new car. Man, it was nice. It was a Kia Amante. And man, they had stole everybody else's ideals. They had the round headlights look just like a Mercedes-Benz. They had the taillights. Look like a Porsche in the back. Amen. They had every little curve and design. And the inside, it looked like a Jaguar on the inside. They had just stole everybody's design and made this beautiful car. And we got in it, and man, that new car smell. Y'all know what I'm talking about, the new car smell? There just ain't nothing like it. And you can't buy that in a bottle or a spray thing. It just ain't there. That new car smell. We smelled that new car smell, and it had us. Ma'am, it wasn't long till we was in the office, and they was writing up the papers, and we were signing it, with a smile on our face. We drove that car, and my Lord let us put a lot of miles on that car. Then one day, I was on my way to preach for Brother Alfred Willis. I don't know if you know Alfred Willis or not, but I was on my way to preach over at Alfred Willis's church over there in the South Carolina. And I remember as we were coming through Asheville there, we got on 26 and started down towards there. And all of a sudden, while I was driving along in our real nice, did I mention it was a nice car? Amen. This thing had leather interior, cruise tilt. It had a sunroof. It had everything that you could ask for. We're driving along, heated seats, air conditioned. That thing had it all. And all of a sudden, while we're driving along, the light come on in the dash. Little engine, a little picture of a motor on the dash, and all of a sudden that thing started spitting and sputtering, something's wrong. And here we are, they're working on the road, and they've got barriers over here, and there's no shoulder over here, and I'm telling you, they cut it down to one lane, and here I am spitting and sputtering, going about 15 miles an hour. Everybody's behind me blowing horns and doing other things I can't tell you about, and I'm trying to spit and sputter, and I made it down through, and I seen down the hill there was an exit. And I said, oh my, if I can just make it down this hill and get off this exit. And sure enough, I made it down to the bottom and I pulled over. I tried to start it and I got out, acted like I knew how to work on it. And I beat on and stuff and I tapped here and moved this. And I thought, man, maybe a wire's come off something. I got back in it, tried to start it, couldn't get it to. And so I made a phone call and sure enough, somebody come with a truck and loaded it up on the truck. Linda was with me. My son was with me, Brad. And I got in the front of the truck. They had the car strapped down on the top, on the back. And here we took off. He had a grin on his face because he knew as he drove, that car would be doing this. They'd be back there in that thing. And what a ride I bet that was. But he took us on up, pulled in, and he said, here, they'll fix your car out here. They're really good. And I said, great. Sure enough, he took us to this little place, and they said, we'll look at your car. There's a nice place to eat across the road. I'll just go over and get you something to eat. By the time you come back, we'll have it all ready, preacher, and you can get back on the road. I said, that'd be great. We went across the road. Sure enough, we ate. We come back, and they said, your car's fixed. I said, what was it? And they said, we don't know. They said, we just went in there and reset the computer and it starts right up and runs great. They said, it's fixed. And I thought, well, I asked God to help us get there. And so sure enough, they said, it's fixed. And I said, how much I owe you? And they said, $190 or something like that. And I said, wow, that's a lot for them not to know what it was. And I gave them my card and they zipped it through. And I got back in the car and started down the road. And we went a few miles and the light come back on and I looked over at Linda and I said, they didn't fix it. And so sure enough, back on the side of the road, more hand gestures, more horns blowing, amen. And I thought, man, and about that time I looked up and there was a sign that said Kia. I said, that's what I need. It's a Kia place. And we spit and sputtered and rolled over the hill. And sure enough, on the next exit was a dealer for a Kia. And we pulled right on in there. Amen. Made it in the parking lot. And I got out, walked into the service department. And I said, something's wrong with my car. And I said, I need some help. And they said, well, I will go out there and check it. And we'll just have you sit down here in this nice place. And we'll be right back with you. And sure enough, in just a few minutes, they come back. And he said, well, you've got a problem. Preacher, he said, you've got a You've got what's called, it's in the throttle body. There's two little motors, and one of those little teeny motors has went out on this car. And he said, so it's not that bad. He said, it's going to be about $400 to fix it. I thought that may not be that bad to you, but... And he said, that's the good news. I said, don't sound like no good news to me. He said, here's the bad news. We don't have one of them low motors. And I said, well, I've got to be Brother Alfred Willis. I'm on Alfred Willis's bridge. And he said, well, we'll get you one of these cars here, and we'll set it all up. You sign the papers, and you take this car. And I said, okay. He said, then on your way back, you can pick up your car. And I said, well, that sounds good. Sure enough, we got in their car and took off. A little ways down the road, he called and said, I got some bad news. He said, that little motor is more than I thought it was. He said, for us to put it on is going to be $904. What am I going to do? I mean, it won't run without it. What would you do? And so sure enough, I said, well... I mean, we already put $190 in it, and the guy didn't even know what it was. And so I said, well, $900, car's worth $900. I said, I tell you what, you go ahead and put that on there, and that'd be great. Went down there and preached Brother Alfred Willis. Hey, his daughter got some help. Amen, praise God. And we came back by and picked up the car. I pulled in there, went in, paid the bill, and walked back out there. He said, it's fixed. It's ready to go. We started it up. You can ask Linda. And we started across the parking lot, and the light come on. It went, and I said, what do y'all think I said? It ain't fixed. So I spun around the parking lot, took it back in there to him. I got out. He smiled real big, said, what's going on? I said, it ain't fixed. I said, we couldn't even make it out the parking lot. And I said, that wasn't what it was. And he said, well, we drove it a few minutes ago and it ran fine. I said, you should have run it more than just 1 minute. I said, because we couldn't even make it out of the parking lot. I said, we've got a park. He said, it's too late today. He said, you go ahead and take his car that you rented and go ahead and take it back to Tennessee, and you come back, and then we'll have it fixed for you. And I said, well, what choices do I have? And so sure enough, I had to go back and preach in Dayton. And so we took off in the rental car. Amen. What a time we had in that rental car. Got behind a truck, something fell off of it, and Cain busted the tire and brought it up into the fender well and tore a big chunk out of the plastic on that big old Nissan. What a life. God, amen, a blessing us. But the devil sure didn't like what we was doing. Sure enough, we went, came back, and I pulled in there, and he said, we fixed it. He said, it's all fixed up. It's ready to go. I got in it, started it up, and drove towards the end of the parking lot, and the light come on. Can you believe that? And so sure enough, I said, Linda, he didn't fix it. I turned around and came back. He said, hey, give me just a few minutes. He went in there, come back, and he said, here's what's wrong with your car. He said, the timing belt is wore, and it has jumped one of the cogs on your timing chain. And he said, we're going to have to put another timing belt in your car. I said, how much is a belt? He said, $600. What am I going to do? I said, my man, I've got this car down. It's that leather interior in it. Did I tell you that the headlights looked like Mercedes-Benz? Amen. And the taillights looked like a Jaguar? A Porsche, amen. I said, I guess it's worth it. And so sure enough, I told him, I put a new belt in it. He said, it's time for it anyway. You needed it anyway. He put it in there, and sure enough, we stayed in the motel. And we got it back up the next day, went over there to get it. He said, it's all fixed up, started it up. You're not going to believe this. What happened? What do you think happened? What do you think happened, Brother Wayne? It wasn't fixed. Started towards the end of the parking lot, spit, sputter, light come on. I turned around, took it back to him. He said, you ain't had a tune-up on this car. He said, we looked it up. He said, you're going to need some spark plugs and some wires. He said, that's all it is. Other than that, he said, this thing's going to run. You'll probably get another 100,000 miles out of it. And I said, how much is that going to cost? He said, it's cheap. It ain't but a couple hundred dollars. He said, I'll get that thing going for you. I said, oh, my. And we went out and ate, come back. And he said, it's ready to go. Started it up. Started towards the end of the parking lot. What do you think happened? Spitting and sputtering. Died on us before we could even get out of the parking lot. So he came back with the good news. After he looked at it, he said, we found out what is wrong with it. I said, what is it? He said, it's your catalytic converters. They're stopped up. I said, well, how much is that going to cost? He said, well, He said, on this car, they're expensive. He said, they're $2,250. And I went, what? He said, each. And there's two of them. And I said, no. I said, I'll junk that thing. I'll take it down to the scrapyard and let them crush it up into little teeny squares and take it away. Hey, man, I said, hey, no way I'm going to put no $4,500 into this thing. And he said, well, I've already made some calls because I knew you didn't spend a lot of money on it. He said, I've got a friend down here, works at Midas. He said he will do it for you for $1,000, both of them. And I said, man, I don't know. I need this car. And so sure enough, I said, finally, I just said, honey, I don't know what else to do. Let's have it done. Y'all think I'm making this up, don't you? Hey, man, you can ask her. And so sure enough, we went over there, had it done. We got back in the car, started down the road. And the light come on and it started spitting and sputtering. And I said, I'm going to drive this thing if I blow it up, man. I pulled, I throw that thing to the floor and it run about 45 miles an hour on the interstate and spitting and sputtering. Ain't no doubt, ain't no telling, fire probably coming out of the tailpipe. And I made that thing come to Dayton and I said, I don't care if it blows up. And I made it to Dayton and a friend of mine said, let me look at your car. And I said, hey, if it's going to be over $100, don't you even touch it. Sure enough, he looked at it and he said, I know what it is. I said, sure you do. He said, I'm going to fix it. And he said, and then if I fix it, you pay me. And I said, if you fix it, amen, and it ain't some crazy number, amen, you go ahead and fix it. And he said, I know what it is. And sure enough, he went in there and he put an EGR valve on it. He said, preacher, your car is fixed. You know what I thought? I went and got in the car, started it up. Sure enough, it started right up. The light wasn't on. I thought, oh my. And he said, tell you what, dude. He said, take it up the mountain. He said, and get on it. He said, I'm telling you, the thing's fixed. And I said, okay. And sure enough, I took it up to the foot of the mountain there at Dayton. And I started up that mountain. I kicked that thing down. It pulled me back in the seat. And man, that thing run like a brand new one. Hey, man, I went up, turned around, drove it around for a little while, and came back, pulled in there. Hey, man, and I was tickled to death to give him $260 more dollars. But my car was fixed. I want to ask you a question tonight. Verse number one says, my heart is fixed. I want everybody looking around now. Normally a preacher says, everybody bow your head, close your eyes, nobody looking around. But I want everybody to have your eyes open, heads up, everybody looking around. In this place, be honest. Could be the difference of whether somebody gets saved or not. How many of you in this building, in the great church, Ridgeview Baptist Church, amen, in Wallen, Tennessee, Pastor Wayne Sexton, how many of you in this building did not get saved the first time that you prayed and made a profession? Would you raise your hand? You did not get saved the first time. Look at that. One, two. Hold them up. One, two, three, four, five. My goodness, ten. Oh, my goodness, this whole section there. And my, turn around, look back through yonder. My, at all of these hands that are up. Amen, you can put your hands down. You know what? I can put my hand up with that. Amen, I went. I done what they told me. But it did not fix my heart. Amen. What I'm concerned about tonight is your heart fixed? Is a preacher, how can you be sure if it's fixed or not? Well, that guy told me my car was fixed. I got in that car, and it didn't even want to start right. I put the key in, I turned it over, and usually, I mean, you could put it in, and you could turn it over, and it wouldn't turn over one time, young man. I mean, it just go, start up. But when I would get in and start it, it'd go, and I thought, wait a minute, I don't know about this. Hey, man, it shouldn't be turning over that many times. And my, I'm going to run the battery down if it don't start soon. Hey, man, I knew, hey, man, that it wasn't right because it wasn't starting right. I knew it wasn't right because it wasn't going right. Hey, man, it didn't have power. Hey, man, it didn't have the ability to be able to get on the interstate and pull away and merge into the traffic. Amen. And pass somebody if you needed to. And I really knew it wasn't right when it wouldn't arrive right.
I needed to be in Stephen's, South Carolina, St. Stephen's. I didn't make it with that car. I needed to come back and get it and go to Dayton. I couldn't make it to Dayton. Amen. I needed it again and needed to go to another place, and it did not go. It wouldn't start right. It didn't have no power right, and it wouldn't arrive right. I don't care if it had pretty leather interior. Right? I don't care if the sunroof still worked. I don't care about that. Amen. I need to get where I'm going. I need it to take me. And I need to arrive where I'm supposed to be. How would you know if your heart is fixed? Now, I said it earlier this week. There's a verse that says your heart is desperately weak, deceivable, amen. And it will trick you into thinking that it's right when it's really not. The devil, the master of deception. That's what he's been doing for 6,000 years. He has been tricking men and women, boys and girls, into thinking that they're all right when they're really not. And then this world, with all of its allure, with all of its sin, amen, pulling at you and tugging at you, amen, and they'll all tell you, don't worry about it. Some will say none of that's even real anyway. Some will say there ain't even a God. Some of them will say, we're as good as they are, a bunch of hypocrites down the church. And the world wants to comfort you in your unfixedness. He tried to convince me that car was fixed. I had paid him hundreds of dollars to fix that car, and he said it was fixed more than one time, more than two times, more than three times. He said, that car is fixed. And I'd get in it, and it wouldn't even make it out of the parking lot. David. A psalm of David. David tells us how you can know that your heart is fixed. Would you like to know? Anybody like to know? You know, when he fixed that car, when he really fixed it, I could tell it was fixed. Man, I'm telling you what, as soon as I touched it, it started immediately. And when I started up the road with it and gave it some gas, I pushed that pedal down, it pulled me back in the seat. And man, I went up that mountain, I could have run 100 miles an hour up the mountain. That thing had all the power it ever had. It was like driving a brand new car. It all totally, it was an EGR valve. It was so simple. They took my motor out and put catalytic converters on and then put it back in because they said that was wrong with it. That wasn't wrong with it. It was simple what was wrong with it. Is your heart fixed? Maybe somebody told you your heart was fixed. Maybe you even said that your heart was fixed. You know what I could have done? I could have spit and sputtered along with that car and told everybody it was fixed. Somebody said, preacher, are you sure that car's fixed? Because it liked to not start it out there in the parking lot. And when you pulled out, it was spitting and sputtering and missing. And when you got down there at the red light, it died on you. And you had to start it back. And are you sure that's fixed? Oh, yeah. Don't you tell me my car ain't fixed. I'll tell you one way to know whether your heart's fixed or not. If somebody asks you if you're saved and you get mad, something's wrong. Something is wrong. Before I got saved, amen, truly born again, if you'd asked me, Brother William, if I'd been walking through Walmart, you'd said, sir, can I hand you this gospel tract? You know what I told you? I don't need it. I'm already saved. And you'd have said, oh, tell me about it. And I'd have got mad. I'd have got mad because you asked me to tell you about it. I would have. I'd have took it offensive. Who you think you are asking me whether I'm saved or not? I'd probably come back with, hey, I've lived just good as you do. I'm just good. Hey, I know a preacher messed up or some song leader or piano player. And I could have probably come back and told you, amen, two or three verses and made it look like I knew something. My heart wasn't fixed. Something is wrong if you get mad when somebody asks you about being saved. I'll tell you what happened to me when I truly got saved. They didn't even have to ask me. I was running up telling them, amen. Hey, can I tell you about how I got saved? Hey, let me tell you what happened to me the other day. I got saved. Hey, let me tell you, hey, have you ever been born again? Let me tell you how I got born again. It'll start right. It'll run right. And it'll arrive right. If it's fixed. Now look here what David said when his heart got fixed. Look what it says. Amen. You know I got to give you an outline. The Bible says here, oh God, my heart is fixed. Well, tell us about it, David. What is a fixed heart like? And this is what he says. First of all, I want you to, you can write it down if you want to. It is personal. You're going to find he said, it's my heart. Hey, man, it's one thing for me to say to you, 31 years ago, I remember when Linda's heart got right. Hey, man, I can tell you, hey, according to his testimony, hey, man, 52 years ago, he got right. His heart got fixed. Hey, man, and that precious lady talking about, what, 1962? She got her heart fixed. Man, that's a long time ago, too, I'm telling you. But if your heart gets fixed, it'll be personal. David didn't say, I know somebody's got a fixed heart. I know somebody's right with God. No, David said, hey, my heart is fixed. Yes. And this is what he said. Y'all ready? Amen. It's personal now. I'll tell you what will happen if your heart is fixed. Amen. He starts off, I will sing and give praise. There'll be something on the inside. Linda just told it a few minutes ago. She said, I'm telling you, all I could think about was going to church the next day. I remember she went to the church, when we went to church, and you know what she said? Hey, man, she didn't, somebody didn't come up and say, hi, how are y'all doing? What's your name? Well, my name's Linda. Well, that's great. Are you a Christian? She didn't get mad. Hey, man, they didn't even get a chance to ask her none of that. You know what she did when she come into the church? What do you think she done, Brother Allen? Hey, man, it started right. She kicked it in gear right. She stomped it to the floor. She stood up and she went, whoa, I don't thank God he saved me. Everybody look around. She was excited because her heart got fixed. It's personal. Hey, man, listen now. It's public. Verse number 2 says, awake, psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. If you truly got a heart that's fixed, hey, you say, well, I'm shy. I worry about whether that's fixed. How can you know God, amen, that's living on the inside of your body and you can't even tell somebody in church?
Right. Yes, sir.
You say, preacher, you're just trying to get us to praise God. Well, I'm telling you, if you've truly got God on the inside, there is something that you, have you ever heard somebody say this, Brother? Have you ever heard somebody say, I can't help it. Probably Sharon. Amen. Probably Sharon. She probably says, I can't help it. Amen. You probably heard the pastor's wife say, I can't help it. Amen. You probably heard the preacher say, I can't help it. Amen. You probably heard Brother William say, I can't help it. You know what you'll get if your heart's fixed? You'll get the I can't help it. Amen. Say, I just got to stand up. Hey, man, if I don't, I'm going to blow up. I'm going to explode all over the pulpit and all over the choir. Hey, man, we don't want you exploding. Hey, man, so stand up and praise him. Amen. Yes. He said, my heart's fixed. And I'll tell you how I know it is. I'm going to tell everybody how good God is. Yes. He said, not only the people, but look at it. Hey, man, I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people, and I will sing praises unto thee among the nations. Amen. Are you listening? Amen. It wasn't just praising God in the church. Amen. It wasn't just praising God out in the yard. Amen. At home. Amen. He's going to get, amen, plumb out to the nations and tell them.
Yes, sir.
He had a fixed heart.
Yes, sir.
Look at it. Verse number 4. Amen. Not only was it public, but it was passionate. For thy mercy is great above the heavens.
He got to thinking about how God had showed him mercy. My, 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 my. If you know much about David's life, God said he was a man after his own heart. David was an unusual and a very spiritual man. But David made some big mistakes. David got caught up in some big sin. Adultery sin. Illegitimate baby sin. I'm talking about murder sin. Amen. I'm talking about it was across the board. He almost checked up all the boxes of sin. But here it says, your mercy, God, is great. My, 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 you'll still listen to me. My, 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 you still love me. My, 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 God, you'll still, you'll forgive me. Amen, it'll be passionate. Amen, I can see David crying while he's pinning these words down. Can you imagine how David felt when he wrote down, oh God. Amen, then he pinned it down. My heart is fixed. It's fixed. I tried to get it fixed. I couldn't fix it myself. Somebody else tried to help me get it fixed, and it wouldn't get fixed there. You know what? Finally, God fixed it. Is your heart fixed? It was passionate. It was personal. It was public. Amen. It was purposed. Look at verse number 5. Be thou exalted, O God. He's not taking credit for this. I fixed it myself. No, you didn't. Well, I just quit this and quit that. You're still lost too. Well, I'm going to get right with God as soon as I quit drinking. I'm going to get right with God. Drinking ain't got nothing to do with you getting right with God. It's a heart issue. And we'll say, well, as soon as I quit doing this, then I'm going to come to God. Just talked to a man and stopped. He had a truck sitting in the road, in his yard. I checked to see how much he wanted for it. And this is what he said. He said, I'm living with somebody. He said, as soon as we get married, then I'm going to get right with God. I said, sir, you need to get God right with God right now. He said, I can't because I'm living with somebody. I said, listen to me. You may never get a chance to get married to her. You better get it fixed now. Why would we sing a song called Just As I Am? Amen. Perhaps maybe more people's been saved by the singing of that old song in here in the South. Amen. Than maybe any other song. Amen. Let's have a song of invitation. Brother Allen, come and say, amen. Precious girl, come over here and play the piano. And sure enough, amen, we're going to turn to page number 81. Just as I am. And you know what we could say? As soon as I quit this, no. You want your heart fixed? Take it to the mechanic that knows what he's doing. I figure if he can take some dust, Sister Sharon, and pull it up in a pile. Fasten it a little bit. Don't make a nose right there. I don't know. Every time I do that, I think of Bob Ross with that big old afro. And he started off with just a blank canvas, and he slops a little paint over here and throws some black over there, amen, and whops it around. And he said, I think we'll just put a little bird right here and a little tree, a little happy tree. Amen. You know what I think about? God pulled it all together. God ain't got an afro. Amen. God pulled it all together. Amen. Done this maybe. I poked two little eyeballs right there and said, hey, let's make a nose right there. Amen. Let's make some mouth. Hey, let's open up a hole. Right, let's put a hole right there. Amen. I'm going to breathe it. He's going to get up. Everybody's watching. So who's watching? The angels are watching. God said, watch this. He stood up. You do believe that, don't you? Full grown man got up because God, the Lord Jesus, amen, pulled some dust together. Right? Amen, probably took his finger, made a hole there for his mouth and said, watch this. Hey, and he got up. Surely if God can make a body, amen, that can get up out of dirt, surely God can fix your heart. Amen, it was purposed. He said, I'm going to exalt God above the heavens. That's way up there too. And thy glory above all the earth. Verse number 6 says this. Amen. I want to say not only was it personal and was it public and passionate and purposed, but it was profitable. Look at verse number 6. That thy beloved may be delivered, save with thy right hand
and answer me. Verse number 7 says, God hath spoken in his holiness, I will rejoice. You wonder what God did? He fixed his heart. Now listen to me. Listen to me. I'm going to tell you what I'm concerned about. I am concerned not about a Kia Amante, of whether it was a converter or whether it was a valve. I am concerned about your heart. Yours. I'll tell you what I've seen, and I'm not trying to be critical, and I'm not trying to be a judge. I'm just telling you what I'm seeing. Amen. If Brother Wayne, I would have went over there and looked at my car, he'd have said, man, that's a nice looking car. He'd have said, them headlights look like a Mercedes Benz, and them tail lights look like a Jaguar. And my, I look at that, that looks like a Porsche. And my, there's a Lincoln Continental dash in that thing. And I could have said, yep. And he'd said, hey, does it run good? And I could have said, oh, yeah. Can I take a ride in it? Sure, hop in, man. Got leather interior, heated seat. You want yours on air seat or you want it on heated seat? Hey, man, I could have pushed a button and it'd have zoomed him back, laid him back. Hey, man, raised up. I mean, man, our sunroof could have rolled back. Hey, man, and he'd said, man, this is nice. Brother Frank, I said, oh, yeah. He'd say, start it up. Well, I mean, we don't really have to start it. Did you see the tires on this car? My, did you see that emblem on the back? Man, I'm telling you what, this thing, did you listen to radio? Listen to radio. Dear, 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 dear. It's a, start it up. You know what? It wouldn't have took him long to have figured out something ain't right with this car. He said, Brother Fraser, let's go down here and eat down here at this Mexican restaurant. Y'all didn't only like Mexican restaurant. Hey, man, and he said, I want it down there, and I want the hottest thing they got. I want the hot peppers with the hot sauce and the hot, hot, hot pepper. And sure enough, hey, man, I'd say, yeah, let's go down there. Can we ride in your car? No, let's go in yours. We're already in it. Finally, I probably just have to admit it. Brother Wayne, it don't run good. Well, start it up and let's hear it. Brother Wayne say, Brother Frazier, your car don't run good. Judging, that's what you're doing, judging. No, he ain't judging. It's obvious. Let me tell you something. You ain't got everybody fooled like you think you do. Amen. You ain't got everybody, amen, wondering about whether you're right or not. Amen. It's obvious. If you're spitting and sputtering, you're only in church about a third of the time. Amen. And you don't start right and you don't drive right and you ain't got no power. Amen. Who thinks you're going to arrive right? Preachers, old-time preachers have said it all their life. Look at me now. Old-time preachers have said it. You can't hang out over hell all your life and expect to swing into heaven when you die. And so I ask you tonight, and I know it's a little bit humorous. It wasn't humorous to me because I had to pay all them bills. But is your heart right? Would you be honest with yourself tonight? Well, my husband thinks my heart's right. It doesn't really matter what he thinks. Well, my wife, she thinks my heart. Listen to me. If Brother Wayne got my car and I told him it run great, then this thing's got power, it's a wonderful car, and he said, let's go down to the Mexican restaurant, amen, and I can't even get it to start right, amen, he's going to say, Brother Frazier, you're not telling the truth about this car. It may be pretty. It may have nice interior and the radio works. But it ain't fixed. And so sure enough, sir, heard your testimony a while ago. It wasn't fixed, was it? And I heard the pastor's testimony. And it wasn't fixed. Glenda stood up and said, hey, God fixed her. Amen, 31 years ago, and he did. Everything changed. She'd already made two professions. She made one when she was about y'all's age, about 12 years old. She made one when she was about 20, maybe 22 years old. I can't remember. Amen. And you know what? Amen. She went down to the altar and everything looked good. And the preacher even said, she is saved. And she walked out the door and never had a desire to go to church. It never started right. It never had any power. It never could accelerate. It never could go places. It did not arrive. Because it wasn't fixed. And I'm here tonight not to be mean. But I'm telling you, you know whether your heart is fixed. I knew my heart wasn't fixed. I knew it wasn't right. I'd have told you with my mouth, oh, I'm fine, but it wasn't fixed. And if you're going at home at night, and you're laying down and it's all just you, husband's already asleep maybe, or maybe you're a child like Brother Wayne was. Hey man, and you're laying there all alone. Nobody else can talk to you about your heart being fixed. And there's something on the inside says your heart ain't fixed. You need to be saved. And you can push it off and you can act like it's fine and you can tell everybody all day long. Hey man, but here, hey, you will not arrive until your heart is fixed. And so I'm asking a simple question tonight. Is your heart really fixed? You've came to the altar. You've said the words. Did it fix it? Is there just praise on the inside that's, I mean, almost uncontrollable? Amen. You can't wait to brag on God. You love the church. You love the Bible. You love to tell people about God. You love to pray and talk with Jesus. Amen. You're a real Christian. Or would you just be honest? It's not fixed, Brother Frazier. And there may be somebody here tonight. And yeah, you may have. It may start right. You say, I remember when it started right, Brother Frazier. But somewhere along the way, it started missing and it started spitting and sputtering. And you got revival on the sign, preacher. Wonder if anybody needs a tune-up. If anybody needs to just pull in and say, God, I'm just going to be honest with you. I'm not like I used to be. And I want to be back like I was. Revive means to be alive. And revive means to do it again. Oh, God, tune me up. Oh, God, put me back in time with you. Oh, God, amen, stir me up. Clean me out. Help me, God! I want my heart fixed!
Yes,
I want it fixed. Let's bow our heads together tonight. I wonder if there's anybody in here that will be honest with herself. Honest! That's how you get right with God, is just be honest. Oh, God, I know my heart is not right. I get along by myself, it's all I think. Oh, God, when I'm by myself, all I can do is say, oh, God, I'm not right with you. And so are you going to fix it tonight? Are you going to let God fix it? Are you going to just spit and sputter along? And tell everybody everything's fine. But then like the pastor said, you go home at night and the lights go out and it's time to sleep. But something on the inside is saying, it ain't fixed. You're not right. You know it's not right. God, please. Lord, tell somebody, help somebody, show somebody. Holy Ghost, please, move through this place. Young lady, would you be honest with him? Sir, the only way to get it fixed is just tell Jesus, God, I know it's not fixed. And I need you, oh God, to fix it. I'm tired, Lord, of his spitting and sputtering. I'm tired of it not working half the time. God, I need you to fix it. I'm tired of laying awake at night wondering if I'll go to heaven when I die. Oh, God, help me. Would you fix it? Oh, God, I'm sorry.
Would you fix it? Would you just fix it? Fix it.